Businesses today are under siege by determined people performing payment fraud with emerging technology, and our increased reliance on email is making it easier than ever for them to be successful. Unfortunately, the way many organizations go about managing supplier information has left us more vulnerable to these fraudulent schemes. During today's podcast, we're going to discuss how automated bank validation can help with preventing fraud. I'm Scott Leahy, and this is Esker on Air. Today, I'd like to welcome back a familiar voice to this podcast, Esker's VP of Sales in the Americas, Dan Reeve. Dan, welcome back. Always great to have you on.
Hey, Scott.
And along with Dan, we have another guest. It's his first time on the podcast, and he's here to help in the discussion around the ever-present topic of preventing fraud. I'd like to welcome the CEO of Financial Operations Network, Phil Binko. Phil, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you, Scott. It's a pleasure to be here.
So to start off, let's set the stage a little, so to speak. So this one's going to be for Phil. Just general lay of the land, can you tell us what the state of things are regarding payment fraud for AP teams?
Sure. The surveys that we do come back in alignment with what people are telling us every day. And fraud is their bank account fraud is their number one concern of folks who are in AP. Business email compromise is on the rise, and it involves often very, very tedious, time-consuming manual procedures to be protected from it.
And I'm sure that is felt by those AP teams, those folks kind of in the trenches. Speaking a little more broadly here, what's at stake for organizations? What are some of the outcomes, unfortunately, of some of the more successful fraud attempts?
Oh, my goodness. Monetary loss, of course, is one. We rarely see any successful attempts that are for less than mid-six figures. Most of them are higher. There's certainly a legal cost associated with it. It is a tremendous disruption to the organization to recover from this. Insurance premiums increase. There's reputation loss. There's possible embarrassment. And on top of all that, there's supplier relations risks.
And now, Dan, for you, as we let's think about the good guys a little bit here. As the technology used by these fraudsters grows more advanced, are there equally advanced tools available to organizations to combat this?
Yeah, I see a couple of trends. So one, increasingly, organizations are looking to ensure they don't get caught out, they don't get embarrassed, they don't want any, as Phil was alluding to, they don't want any risk to their brand. And so what we hear from AP and procurement folks is, and finance leaders are saying, look, I want to be able to bring on suppliers, make it easy to do annual checks. Are they trained? Are they insured? Have we done checked that they're compliant, they're not engaging in child labor, that these folks are indeed the entities that they say they are, and their tax and bank checks are good and up to date. And so on one side, I see an uptake in supplier management and due diligence, and that's now extending to things like, hey, let's make sure that the supplier has a good carbon policy and an environmental policy, et cetera, as that's becoming increasingly important. And then also back to segregation of duties and controls and due diligence within finance, increasingly companies are saying, look, we need to push more of our spend to be under a contract and more PO-based procurement, so that if folks want to go out and buy goods and services, a couple of things happen. One is we work with our pre-approved vendors, who we've checked them, we know who they are, and we're sending money to legitimate bank accounts. And two, hey, you know, there's some controls here. You can't just go out and whip out a credit card and buy some goods and services. You have a spend process and authority. Again, delegation of authority as to who can actually raise a purchase order or purchase requisition And there's controls around who can buy goods and services to certain amounts, you know, and there's visibility when people do buy goods and services or approve payments.
Well, we saw a recent IOFM poll that showed that 62% of AP teams verbally verify bank information over the phone. So question to either or to both, why would someone need to pay for automated bank checks?
Well, it's a big number, and we've seen polls that are even higher than the 62%. But the problem with doing this, with doing these verifications manually, is they're very, very labor intensive. They involve calling somebody on the phone because nobody wants to use email anymore, because the email is what may be compromised in the first place. So they go to their vendor master file. The vendor master file does not always have, no surprise to folks in AP, does not always have the most current contact information. So if we can't find the person there, we have to find who they are. This involves all kinds of effort, including using search engines to find somebody at a company, social media. And then when we do find somebody to talk with, we have to convince them that when we're calling and asking them if their company has actually initiated a bank account change, that they don't believe that the caller who's trying to verify the bank account change is actually a fraudster themselves. On top of all that, it's a manual process. It's very difficult to track. There's lack of human review. The ability to override internal controls is there, little visibility. And because of many other manual processes that might be going on, it doesn't always happen in a standardized, consistent manner.
Yeah, and there's the why. So let's think about the how. How exactly does automatic bank information validation work?
So it's really so simple, and it's so standardized, and it's automatic. The vendor or the supplier or even the buyer can fill out a form online that has the bank account information to be verified. And these forms can vary from company to company, of course. But essentially, once that form is submitted, it automatically goes to a database of bank account ownership information, where it is compared against what the supplier actually has on file for that bank. And it returns a result that shows whether or not the bank account number, the routing number, the name of the organization, the street address, the city, the state, the zip code, and the taxpayer identification number all match with what the vendor has on file for that bank. And if they do, then that's a good thing. So it really contributes to the verification. If there are any discrepancies in any of those data fields, such as the address being different or the name of the company being different or the taxpayer identification number not matching, those are clearly highlighted. And those would be red flags to either get corrected in case there was a typo, or to perhaps do much further investigation as to whether or not this was a legitimate bank account change.
Great. And so, you know, we've thought about why we've chosen a partner. Is there anything that, you know, we should be keeping in mind while implementation is taking place?
Most finance departments, especially AP departments, are extremely busy. You know, everybody's getting more and more email, and these the social engineering attempts used for fraud are getting better and better, more sophisticated, more cunning. And when you're busy, it's easy to miss things. And, you know, I was at a dinner recently in a group of finance leaders, and a lady was saying that she's an interim CFO, and she supports a charity, and she volunteers time at a charity. Now this charity has just been hit for a $20,000 fraudulent supplier attack, effectively. They've been conned into making $20,000 payment to a bad actor. And, you know, it just felt terrible because this charity is doing good work, yet they got attacked. You know, the fraudsters don't discriminate. They'll steal money where they can. And she said, well, how on earth did this happen? Why didn't you call the bank? And the folks in the payables department said, we're just too busy. Don't have time to pick up the phone and call the bank, you know. So pressure, these tactics of rush, this is really important. It's got to get done right now. You know, when you combine that with people doing manual processes, if you don't have technology, you don't free up your people to do their best possible work. And that includes people, you know, can be caught out and caught off guard because they're busy. And I think many of us have probably seen that, you know, with the fake text messages or emails that we get. You know, it's very easy to click and go, that's not legitimate. So that's what a lot of this is about, is folks are, the fraudsters are taking advantage of manual processes and life just getting busier.
And I think, Dan, I might add to that, you know, when implementing, you certainly want to make sure as the buyer of bank account verification that it's easy for you to use internally, it's easy to review, it's timely, that it easily fits in to your workflow, your review and approval workflow, that there is, you know, certainly a culture in the provider of continual improvement, because things are changing, everything's changing, and things are getting better in many ways. And is there a history and evidence of great customer support? Those are the main things that our customers are telling us that they're certainly looking for. In addition to, is it really cost effective for what they want to do, and how much time is involved, how much risk is involved in making sure that the bank accounts happen on a timely bank account verifications happen on a timely basis.
Let's close this conversation out with talking a little more on why we decided to do this podcast. Question for both of you. Can you tell us what brought Esker and FinOps together? What makes this partnership work?
Yeah, I'll take a stab at it. A couple of years ago, Phil and I were on stage at a finance procure to pay event. And Phil was, you know, talking about the risks he was seeing and what folks in the market were asking for. And it really coincided on both buyers and suppliers who are sort of automating their processes and using Esker as their workflow technology have said to us that, hey, as part of this, we fraud's increasing, and we want to make sure that, hey, even on the receivable side, when we invoice customers and collect money, we might want to double check, does that bank account really exist? Is it a correct bank account? Hey, let's make sure this isn't part of some kind of money laundering system. We're going to make sure, we're going to do our due diligence and make sure we know our customer, know where the money's coming from. Increasingly as well, it feels now we've reached a point that when we talk to organizations that are either improving or automating their back end source to pay, procure to pay process, it seems to me now that, you know, 30% or more of the time the organization is saying, hey, well, as part of this, we know we need supplier management, or we know that the need to do our due diligence is going to increase. And it would just be easier if we can have one interface where we can not only sort of, you know, onboard suppliers, pre-approve them, but heck, we want to check the bank account. We want to make sure it's the correct tax ID number that we're dealing with. We want to make sure that we're not going to get embarrassed because this organization is on a banned sanctions list, and we can't afford the you know, we can't run the risk of getting fined or having our name, you know, company name in headlines because we've done business with a banned country, you know. So that's obviously more and more prevalent right now as organizations look to make sure that they're, you know, you wouldn't want to get caught out for doing business for a Russian-based company right now as a broad generalization. So it came down to the fact that many of our customer base have said, hey, we need this type of due diligence? Can it be served up through one interface? Because if it can, that will make our life a lot easier and it will reduce our risk.
And Dan, I agree with everything you said. And I think that in addition to that, it certainly helps that both organizations are recognized as leaders in their respective areas. And that's because not only do Vendor Info, Financial Operations Networks, and Esker have terrific applications with great functionality, but the companies themselves also support great leadership teams. And most of all, they really care for their customers. And that's, you know, that's certainly evident in polls and in surveys and in references that come from the organizations who we both serve.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Phil and Dan, for joining today. Very much appreciated. If you have any questions or are interested in if Esker can help out preventing all things fraud, please check out the links in the show notes. And as always, if you're interested in learning more about Esker, you can find us at esker.com. Thanks for tuning in today, and we'll talk to you next time.